Hey guys, I just wanted to take a minute and give a little final shout out to one of our biggest fans. This lady has been there since day one. She's liked everything, reshared everything, done whatever she could to help support us. And unfortunately, she passed away a couple of weeks ago. So I just wanted to give her a little read of her obituary so you know that we lost somebody. Jill Fairchild Adams, born January 17th, 1943, completed her life's journey on February 22nd, 2017, surrounded by her family and friends in the Franciscan Hospice House in University Place, Washington. She was preceded in death by her husband, Willis G. Adams, her baby daughter, Leslie Nadine Wells, and her parents, Brogan Mixon Fairchild and Kathleen Daniel Fairchild, survived by her daughter, Melissa Wells, from Gig Harbor, Washington, and grandson, Milo Eakins, in Denver, Colorado, her son, Brogan Adams, yours truly, and her granddaughter, Sierra Adams, of Tacoma, Washington. Her daughter, Rain Adams, who currently resides in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, her sisters, Sandra Fairchild Green, of Ventris, Louisiana, and Penny Fairchild Arp, of Las Cruces, New Mexico. The family requests that any donations be made in Jill's name to the Poinkapi Animal Shelter at 9628 Morganza Highway in New Roads, Louisiana, 70760, or to the Franciscan Hospice House at 2901 Bridgeport Way West in University Place, Washington, 98466. Private burial arrangements were made in the Cottonwood Cemetery in Lodi, Louisiana. Life is short, you know. You got to support the people that you love and keep their memory close to your heart. Because that's, at the end of it, that's all we leave. Hope you enjoy the rest of the podcast. Welcome to the Grit City Podcast. Actually, you say that because your voice is way better than mine.
Welcome to the Grit City Podcast.
All right. Well, some of you that are listeners may know that voice. That voice is the Grit City champion of 2016.
He was, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. You kicked some dicks in the dirt, including you kicked Rusty's dick in the dirt.
Yeah.
He's our highest download because he's the very first one. So when you put it in to any, whatever you listen to, if you've never done it before, he's always the first one that pops up. So that's the one that's automatically played.
It's our first episode
you beat
ever.
That guy,
yeah.
Too.
Wow. Yeah,
which that's wow. I mean, that's a hard thing to do because you look at any podcast that when they do that, that's where they start. They start at the beginning.
I feel
unless
very
you change
blessed.
It, unless you change it to do it by most recent.
I
but the
see.
Default in a lot of them is
the first one.
Is the first one starts you from the beginning, like a story,
right?
Which nobody should ever go and listen to the first episode of this podcast because it's awful, 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 awful.
But yeah, you got great numbers on that one, and then we put you out as a best of, and you got really good numbers on that one too.
Yeah, and the best of
so.
Did good too. So,
yep.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you at least 25% credit for the fact that we could afford to buy all new gear.
Sure.
Happy to help.
Yeah, we like that about you. All right, and for those of you that don't know who this is Mr. Vibe Smith from downtoreiki.com is a good way to find him. He is a long time, a life. Time friend of mine, as far as I'm concerned. He is a spiritualist. I don't think that's unfair to call you. He is a God, I want to call you a shaman. That'd be the way I'd sell you to somebody, but then people think that you maybe carry a medicine bag and wear a loincloth, although that should be an outfit for Halloween. I'm in on this. I want a picture.
I think it would be better just to go with a healer.
A healer.
A natural healer.
An enlightened being, a natural healer. But not like naturopathic, like you're going to sell me some pills full of some junk you found in the backyard, like a soul healer, an energy healer. I don't know. Tell people a little bit about what it is that you do when somebody says, hey, Vibe, what do you do for a living?
So what I do is I create a safe space and provide the energy necessary from me being neutral to allow you to actually heal yourself. Definition of true healing. Because you know what's best for you. And I listen to what, me being a medium, I can actually listen to you tell me what needs to be done. And then I provide you choices of love or fear. Now, hopefully, you're choosing love. That's the ideal way to go. But that's all I'm doing. There's no manipulation. There's no force. You go as fast as you want to because this is your journey, not mine. There's no ego involved. There's no judgment. It's just you healing yourself in a safe place with an exorbitant amount of energy.
See, I could not have put that together. Those words would have been lost upon me. And be like, oh no, man, he shakes a voodoo bag and some shit changes for people. But, you know, when I started this journey, as in our friendship, it was a very different thing.
Yes.
And I've talked about that in our last podcast that, you know, where you came from was not a person that is jumping in on the, I mean, I'm not saying that you were not a religious person or you did not believe in in power of any kind, but that is not where your focus was in life.
No, not at all.
No, you had plans to jump deep into the IT world. You wanted, yes, to travel the world with a laptop and fix things remotely from the beach.
Exactly.
That's what you wanted.
Exactly.
You wanted to. And that's crazy to think, because you could do it. You
I
knew
still
how,
could.
You have the ability. You are technologically savvy as either one of us. And to see that, you know, you went through your trials with the wheelchair.
Yes.
Line that out for them real quick. That way for the people that are not have listened to the other one.
So, you know, short story. I'll try to make it quick. Pretty much I injured myself in the military. Got healed up there, and then follow that quite a few years later, injured myself again. And then this is also where my partner stepped in. After I injured myself the second time, I was put on a waiting list for a year, basically. And during that period of time, she was pretty much taking care of me. Sky, my lovely Sky. So gangsta. She's so gangsta. But she had my back and just taking care of me, and then while I was trying to recuperate from the knee situation, both my knees, torn meniscus, I ended up herniating my back. And then I started getting nerve damage from that herniation. Then I had a sciatic. And then the medical doctors and the surgeons, particularly orthopedic, was trying to say that, basically telling me to stay away from stairs and not to do this. Basically, it's to stop living. You're telling a 30, early 30-something-year-old to stay away from stairs. Good times. But that was pretty much the whole process there. And then once the surgery started to come around, and that was even a debacle to begin with, because there was a lot of hesitation on the medical side. And so things are just getting prolonged and constant going back and forth. And when they finally did the knee surgeries, they did both of them at the same time. Well, you need your back to heal your knees. And then 6 months later, they did the back surgery. And then that first surgery took away my ability to move my legs. And then that surgeon tried to kick me out of the hospital because he has whatever issues with people that don't look like him. And then he ended up blowing out my back in that process. So then 2 days later, I had to get another surgery to give me the ability to start to move to have sensations in my legs again. And to be able to move my big toe. After that second surgery, and then that was another long process of trying to heal, because once again, to heal your back, you need your knees, and vice versa. It was a lot of trials and tribulations. It was pretty hard. But fortunately, as I said, I was able to get an exorbitant amount of support from Sky. My mom's was there. I had some friends that came through. That was awesome. You know what I mean? Like it helped. It definitely helped. But it was tough times. And with the medical system failing me in the way that it was, and being treated like a drug addict, and then being treated like a homeless person, and then being profiled, and, you know, all those good things you don't want to experience and you wish didn't exist, but they do. That actually pushed me in the direction of going more of the energy way, going to Eastern medicine. And then that's what started putting me in this path, and then finding out what my natural abilities were and what resonated with me. It wasn't Western medicine. It wasn't the narcotics. It wasn't the intrusive behavior, or having to navigate through the profiling of how to get results when everybody should be just treated equal when you show up. We're all trying to get help, right? So, yeah, that's what that's what got me in this direction.
Well, and when you experience something as profound as being able to help yourself, from a position that maybe you weren't even really aware you could do. True. to get such a result. I mean, we spent a lot of time together when you had a wheelchair you had to worry about, where I had to literally worry about you coming to visit with a gap that was, you know, 5 inches high from my door. I'm like, well, shit, how's Vibe going to get through that doorway? You know, we just got to,
right.
You know, and it was never that sad. It wasn't like I had to get a special ramp for my 4 inches of door clearance. But, you know, thinking about that kind of stuff to somebody now that walks in here completely unassisted, yes. That has made quite the recovery.
I am regrowing cartilage.
What?
Yeah.
Is that a thing you can do?
According to Western medicine, no. That it cannot be done. But I'm finding out that there's a lot of things that are not in that book.
Well, I mean, that's a fact, right? Like, that's where shit starts.
Yeah, it's basically like, if it's not in the book, it doesn't exist. And I'm like, well, that book seems awfully small then.
Well, and you've had, you know, you pointed over to the lovely Miss Sky, who is sitting over here with us. And, you know, she is a prime example of what a partner should be. Because I saw her wheel your ass around.
Yes.
And, you know, she wasn't happy about it some days. I know she wasn't happy about it. Mm-hmm. Like, she went through it with you. You aren't married to her. You don't own, at the time, you don't own a house with her. I mean, she didn't have to be there for you.
Nope, not at all.
No, and the fact that at the end of it, you are as grateful and knowledgeable of the sacrifice that she took for you.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's your down homie. Like, when I tell people, like, I know some people that have strong relationships, watching what she had to put up with you.
Right.
I mean, that is, you put a ring on it, son. Get on it. I mean, that's a good girl.
Damn it. Well, we're not into the whole marriage thing, but definitely the spiritual ring.
She ain't gonna say no.
Oh yeah, it's on. Clack clack.
Yeah,
I got it on lockdown. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. She knows where you're sleeping at night. Yeah. No, but I've always, I mean, really, because that day we all went to the park with the food truck thing, you were having a bad fucking day anyway, and
I was trying to drift in that wheelchair.
Yeah, you did. You were racing little kids in a wheelchair.
Yep.
Like, and
well, if I was stuck in it, I'm gonna make
you might as
the
well
best
make the best of it.
Right.
Get them big ass guns going on. Yeah. Just flexing. Got most upper body strength of any wheelchair black man with a good attitude I've ever seen. And that's the thing about you. Nobody ever put your light out, and that has to be a part of that spirituality.
That is one of those things that, even from a young age, I was always the happy one. Like, I was always emotional. I was always sensitive. But it was like, I enjoyed to be happy. And I got to watch vicariously through other people that it was like, it takes a lot of energy to suck. And I don't mean just like suck in that way, but it's like to actually have a poor attitude, to like, man, to frown. I'm like, really? You got to wake up early to practice that. Like, it just kind of threw me off, like how much effort it actually takes to be negative. And I'm like, you know what? Here's the hand I'm dealt with. This is where I'm at. I'm going to make the best that I can out of it. And then because there's other people, there's a level of accountability. Why am I going to bring them down? This is my scenario. I don't need to make things worse for other people when it wasn't their choice. It's not their fault. So why should I blame them? You see what I mean?
Yeah. Why take your shitty situation and make everybody else's situation already harder than it has to be?
Right.
You know, because it takes a shitload of energy to be nasty and negative to somebody, but it doesn't take any energy at all to love somebody.
Well, this is one of the things that kind of cracks me up, because it's like, excuse me for cursing, to be shitty, that's taught. You don't come out just shitty. You don't come out just like, I don't want to talk to you.
She said maybe.
Well, no. Okay, wait. There's always some exceptions to the rule. Fair enough. There's just some exceptions to the rule. Some people just come out like Stripe out of Gremlins, you know. I know the millennials may not understand.
That's a great way to put it.
Like, they just come out just like, I'm just, this is my role in this lifetime, is to make everything suck. You know, granted, and you can't, you know, that's
I count myself fortunate not being able to put that label on anybody in my life right now.
I can't. I'm sure that there's somebody. If you think hard enough,
the guy that owns
gonna be like, oh, yeah, there's this person. Yeah.
But, like, nobody I'm on a first-name basis with in my life right now.
No, because I think you try to separate those people from your life. If you're smart, you do, right?
You got
in
to.
In most cases. I don't know.
I've always had the experience. They kind of come out to you a little sideways. Like, this is one of the things that I've always appreciated down south. Everybody's honest. you got 3 minutes. There's that 3 minutes of truth, right? As soon as it's you find out whether you're gonna be friends, foes, or indifference, right? In that 3 minutes. Up here, a little bit different, though. Because it's like, sometimes it's like, you're like, hey, they smiled. We make eye contact. We're good. No, no.
You're talking about the freeze. You're talking about the Seattle freeze. I know all about that.
I don't even, but the thing is, I don't even know if it's just limited to just like the Seattle thing. Like, it's just interesting.
It's probably every major city has got that problem.
West Coast is interesting. It's a little interesting. Nothing but love, though. It's fortunately, I got to say this. It helped me to be me. And so I'm always grateful for everything that I've experienced prior to. I'm grateful for the fact that, you know, actually I went through all those trials and tribulations. I'm grateful that I met Sky. I'm grateful that that surgeon disliked people of ethnicity so much he tried to ruin my life in the manner that he did. Because if he didn't do that, I would not have gotten to where I am now. It took that. It took all those series of events, all of those messed up, worst time of my life experiences to get me to appreciate everything on such a grand level that I'm actually willing to put myself first and self-love and focus on going inward so I can go outward. So therefore, I'm always coming at everybody at 100%. They get 100% of me because of all of those things. So I'm grateful. Like, yeah, they sucked. And I tell people and they're like, oh, man, you're going to sue? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, it made me me. Because if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now.
The amount of negative energy it would take to sue the VA anyway, like you'd be wrapped up in a lifetime of fucking misery and dirt flinging.
Just to throw this out there, just to correct it so it's understood, the VA started the process with the knees. I went somewhere else to get my back, to get the surgeries done on my back. So this was outside the VA.
Oh, good.
Yes. And then that was the surgeon, the first surgeon. He's the one that tried to take a brother out. Mm-hmm. And then, now you know my ethnicity.
Yeah.
And then the second surgeon, I would love to say his name because.
No, we don't do that.
I know. I won't do it. I'm just saying, I would love to say his name because he's the one that got my feet moving again. He's the one that got things reconnected.
Oh, the one you like?
The one that helped me.
Oh, you can say his name. We love to give props to anybody that is a good person.
Oh, that's what's up. Like I'm, yeah. As I said, it's
no,
all
that's
about
good
love.
For him. That's good advertisement for him.
Dr. Farokhi at Virginia Mason. Thank you, mad homage. You helped get me to where I am.
Yeah. So no, we love that. Like we have no problem with positive, like somebody out there doing right by people.
Yeah.
All day long.
No, he was phenomenal. He was phenomenal. He looked at my situation. And it was kind of cool. He was like, I got you, you know? And then helped me out and got things squared away, took me back into surgery the next day. And then it was on to recovery.
You should bring him a thank you card.
It would be, yeah, I guess I could walk into
that would make
Virginia
his
Mason.
Day?
Because at first there was a wall, like, I don't want to go back in there.
No, show him you're walking, bring his ass a card.
But, yeah, no, actually I was thinking about kind of like, you know, going in like gymnastic style, doing some flips and cartwheels, and just like, look, this is where I'm at. because they, like, there was this, that, you know, during the whole process, they were like, you're never going to be the same. There was too much that was done. There was a lot of nerve damage. You're not going to be right again. Everything that I am right now, I was told that this is not really plausible. And here we go. Power of energy and just the power of love and self-love and not having any blockages and having that trust and confidence and that communication with your body and your mind and your spirit and allowing everything to work in a synergistic relationship where there is no ego. There is no control. It is just free-flowing love. It's life, you know? It's allowing this to happen. There was a moment during the first back surgery. Okay, I'm just going to back this up a little bit. There was a moment during my first back surgery where I actually died. I was not told that I died. And it took a little bit of investigation to find this out. But yes, that's kind of one of those things. And this is said, this is why I appreciate that first surgeon being the way that he was, because it actually took my life. And then when they brought me back, it kind of turned a lot of things on for me. And so now, as I say, going down this path, and then with me going down the path of energy and trying to do Eastern healing or more natural healing, and when I started to learn Reiki, and for me, Reiki was a mode for me to learn me. Before I actually started Reiki, it was already brought to my attention. I've already discovered I could actually flow energy already. I didn't struggle with that. I just didn't know how to do it. I had no structure. I had no instruction. I wasn't taught. When I was younger, I never got the opportunity to learn how to do me in the way that I'm doing me now. So Reiki was that teacher for me. And in that process, I learned how to listen, use my medium ability, and listen to my guides and listen to energy. Because that's when I found out, wait, I can hear energy. I can hear my guides. I can listen on so many different levels. With me being able to do that, it allowed me to start to learn more of how I work. And as I'm progressing, I realized that I'm naturally of a neutral person. Anybody who's ever known me, I've always treated everybody exactly the same. Whether you're men, women, there's no one over the other. We're all equal.
That's a fact.
So for me, naturally, it's like I realized I'm actually a neutral cat. So one of the things is while I was doing this and discovering, I realized that actually I can flow the frequency of love. And as I'm doing this and I'm discovering once again myself, that's when, and I'm opening up my chakras, and I'm just going in. I'm going in fearlessly and removing all the fear from my being, and making sure that there is no ego involved. Actually, basically, I put ego in the back seat, and I was like, look out the window. You're not driving no more. and with that, I realized that, and I love Reiki for what it was and what it is. I became a Reiki master. It, once again, it helped me get here. I'm still called down to Reiki. And that is out of homage because of my Reiki master. But I realized that my natural gifts resonate way more with me than me using another modality, as it were. So from there, I transitioned from using Reiki to just using my natural gifts. So now, once again, to illustrate, that's why when it comes to healing, every situation is always different, because I'm listening to you and I'm coming in with no preconceived anything. And then now I've actually gotten to the point where instead of me just flowing love, I can flow source energy. And then I found out that I can flow space. I know that one kind of.
What is source energy in space? Break that down.
Okay, so this is, I love this. This is where it gets good. Everything is infinite. This is the beauty of learning from not learning the dogma or the structure from a teacher, a human teacher, as it were. I learned from energy. I learned from my guides. So everything they're teaching me is infinite. Everything's abstract. There is no structure. There's no dogma. There's no limitation other than you. You are the one that sets the tone for how things can be or what they're going to be, right? So if you're thinking small, well, everything's going to be small. If you're thinking infinite, well, guess what? You're going to move in an infinite manner. So when I start flowing love, it was very powerful. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. Oh my goodness, I feel like a really bright light bulb. It was crazy. And during that process, I was like, well, what's above this? And then I was like, huh, there's source. Source makes sense. So basically, just to give a little illustration, love would be like the fuel, right? It's like the fuel. It burns. Everything runs on that fuel. In some fashion or form, it runs on it. And then you have source. And source is like the spark. Okay, So now you got the, so now I'm flowing the fuel and the spark. And it, it literally made my, so when I was flowing love, like when I would work on people, the sessions would be about 45 minutes to an hour and a half. Almost, it's the same for like when I was working using Reiki, correct? So 45 minutes to an hour and a half. When I start flowing source energy, that 45 to an hour and a half session went down to 15 to 20 minutes. And we did everything. And this is from, I'm clearing out all your fear. I'm clearing out all the negative energies within your being. Like we're clearing your whole body all at once. I'm resetting all your chakras. I'm activating them. I'm turning them. I'm not just activating, I'm charging them up. I'm resetting your aura. Like I'm doing all of these in the count of 15 minutes, maybe even 20. Which normally this would take a process. You have to do a couple sessions to get all this stuff done. But mind you, because I am coming from a neutral space and I'm giving you the choice, love or fear, all of this stuff is happening and it's done. And the beauty of it is I didn't tell you to do this. You did it, so it's yours. It will never go away because you did it yourself. So if you never came back to me, you'll always be right there. You'll never go backwards. You can stop. Now, granted, that may feel like you're going backwards, but you'll never reverse. And so that was using source energy, that spark.
Did anybody else picture a flamethrower when he's talking about the force? And the love? Like you just love flamethrower. You're just making some shit hot.
That's funny.
So, man, I want to step back and say, so you died. Tell us about that. Like, how did you find that out? Yeah. Like, yeah.
I'm glad you got that.
Yeah. So you actually died, like in surgery, just...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I actually died. I left my body. I was over medicated or over what do you call it? Not necessarily like overdose, but it's
over sedated.
Over sedated
to the point where your heart stopped.
They did. Yeah. They I was over sedated. And it was the reason and actually it was kind of interesting because right after that when I came out, I became immediately opiate resistant. They had me up to 22 milligrams of Dilaudid every 2 hours. And I was talking just like this. Like it was going in, my pain would go away for about maybe a half hour, and then it would come right back. And they were like, whoa, what's going on here? And it was immediate. My body responded immediately to that. It was like, we're not letting this happen again.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. But it was my body adapted instantly to that scenario. But how I found out, obviously I didn't find out through the doctors or the surgeon, especially the surgeon. He wasn't going to tell me anything. But but it was one of those, I was doing a healing session with one of my colleagues. And she's phenomenal. Actually, I'll give her a shout out, Heather Islander, cranial sacral therapist. And she's the one that helped me actually truly identify the fact that I'm a medium and that I have the ability to hear. It was kind of funny because I was like, I was hearing things and I was like, oh, I'm like, whoa, are you doing this? And she was like, no, they're here because of you. You're the one that's hearing. You're the one that, like, I know they're there, but you are the one that's interacting with them. And I was like, oh, wow. That's amazing. Okay, this is my jam. Okay, so with that, I was able to being in the medium that I am, I can communicate with all aspects from inanimate objects to the physical, the mental, the emotional, and also the spiritual. It almost works like a universal translator. It's kind of cool that way. So, for example, I have the ability, if I wanted to know what's going on with my liver or your liver.
Don't ask my liver questions. don't ask, don't tell.
Right. No, it's, but like, if I was to ask, and of course, when it deals with anybody outside of me, it's always about permission. Because like, normally, I don't need to know. I don't want to know. That's your business. Quite frankly, there's so many other beautiful things I'd rather be paying attention to I don't really pay attention to what's going on with people, especially if they're not healed, because a lot of times the mental and a lot of the things are, they're so similar. it's like it's so cultivated that it's almost like the same thing over and over and over. So either way, during that healing session, it was time for me to actually, I'd actually reached a place where I had truly reached love, and I was actually, I forgave everything prior to that. And the way I was able to forgive it, I was thankful for where I was. And so I'm being dyslexic in this manner because I couldn't do it forward because I was like, that sucked. That was horrible. That was, oh my goodness. That person, why are they still here? You know what I mean? That type of deal. But then when I went reversed, and when I did it from where I'm happy that I'm walking, I'm happy that I can smile, that I can wake up every day. Like, I'm just appreciative. I'm happy that I got Sky with me. You know, I'm happy that my mom supports me the way she does and she's always here. You know what I mean? That I got friends that actually show up and interact with me and I'm not getting shunned. And, you know, I'm not dealing with all this negativity that was once bestowed upon me that I was constantly dealing with every day of my life for a while. Being grateful on that level, I was able to thank you. Thank you, past. Thank you, hardships. Thank you, trauma. And I know I said this before, but once I got to that point, it was crazy because I was meditating and then everything just cleared up and I felt so much lighter. And literally, it felt like my vibration just went through the roof on that one. Like, it was just like I was going to start floating or something. It was amazing. So when I went to go see Heather and we were doing, we had a session, I was ready to hear the message from my heart. And it literally was an experience. I don't know how to describe it other than the fact that I was able to physically experience that scenario that happened when I was on that slab and also hear my heart talk to me about it. I'm just going to put this out there. Your heart never wants to stop, and its primary concern is keeping you alive. And when it fails or when it stops beating, It's like I have one job, right? It's like I got one job and I can't do that one job anymore. It's like the worst thing ever. Like, it's crazy. I didn't even know my heart had emotions like that. Well, it's my heart, right? But I didn't know that it was just like, really? And it was really hard. And to experience that and actually to experience what it felt like for your heart to actually stop, it was amazing, scary, and beautiful. All at the same time. Like, it was almost like the worst moment, but the best moment of my experience, because it brought things into clear perspective. Well, I was just like, wow. And that's when I discovered, and then that's when my heart was telling me, yeah, we stopped. We got zapped. We were dead. That heart was not beating 3 to 5 minutes. And it got a little gray after that because I actually had stepped out of my body. So when that happened, it was, you know, time is no longer relative, really. It's only relative in the physical. Once you step out, it's like time's kind of like whatever. So that's how I actually found out. I actually found out during a session when my heart actually broke it down, and then I actually had to re-experience what it felt like to die. So therefore, all of me as a whole was on the same page, because every part of me knew except for my conscious. The conscious was the last one to show up to the party, right? And so I had to get caught up. And when that happened, that's when things really started to move forward, because now I was moving together as a one, a mind, body, and spirit.
Well, and that's happened since the last time you were here.
Hey, we like Jazz Bones. Jazz Bones is our newest partner in this here crazy game of podcasting and show promotion. They're super great. They're reasonably priced. They've got great drink specials all the time. Monday night is Rockaroki. If you've ever wanted to give it a shot at the Rockstar Dream, you can get up on stage and karaoke with a live band playing behind you. It's one of the, it is probably the oldest karaoke in the city. Jazz Bones is great. Thursday night's ladies' night. So get out, meet people. There's always something different going on there. 2803 6th Ave. Swing on by. Tell them you heard about them on the podcast. Check it out.
So the Dockyard Derby Dames season 11 is upon us. Their next bout is at Pierce College out there at 9401 Far West Drive Southwest in Lakewood, the same place they've been for the last couple of seasons at least. And April 29th is their season championship. If you haven't had a chance to check out roller derby, or maybe you just didn't know it was in the area,
please take a little journey out there. Check these girls out. You can swing by their website at dockyardderbydames.com. It's a great, affordable evening. They have a wonderful beer garden, so you can get out there and have a little fun. It's a good idea for a date. Get out there in groups. Family-friendly. Kid tickets are only $12. It's $12 if you got your military ID, and they're $12 if you buy them in advance at brownpapertickets.com. Just get in there and search for the Dockyard Derby Dames, and they're $15 at the door. It's a lot of fun. The doors open at 5. Bout starts about 6. Campus is beautiful. There's lots of parking. Get out there and have some fun. Now we'll kick this jammy into the next part of this. Now that we've got everybody completely caught up on what Vibe Smith maybe is. So last we saw, you got your website up, you had your business cards made. Now you move forward, you've got an actual space you're doing things in. How has that been for you?
I got to do this. So it's very serendipitous that things happened the way they did. So then when last time I was here, shortly after that, I joined a group, business networking group. I joined them, because every time I tried to talk to anybody in West Seattle, they did not respond to me well. No matter how I presented, no matter how big the smile was, even if I got somebody else to introduce me, I couldn't get the time or day. Like it was just very unfortunate. And so I joined the business group, and during that, I was able to cultivate me, basically I turned being the business group into, I don't know, can I say the name? Yeah, BNI. Awesome. The West Seattle Champions, cool bunch of cats. They allowed me to be me. And it was cool, because even the ones that were like, I'm probably never going to talk to that guy, they still were cordial. So I appreciate that. Thank you for the ones that haven't talked to me. I thank you for being friendly enough anyway. So when I joined BNI, and then, it was cool because, as I said, like I was working on me, developing my abilities, transferring over from doing Reiki to using just healing hands, which is just a natural ability to flow energy through me into somebody else. And healing hands has been in my family. It's been passed down. So once I transferred over that, it was weird. Like, I kid you not, my clients doubled. Like, all of a sudden, when I went from Reiki to doing only my natural gifts, all of a sudden, like, things just doubled. I was just got super busy. It was almost like overnight. And I was working out of my home, and I'm very thankful for one of my colleagues who actually gave me the heads up. She informed me, she was like, she basically just kind of let me know, it was like, I'm having troubles sending people over to you. And I was just like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, what's happening? Well, you're a black male and you work out of your home. Those are like basically three whammies against you. And it's hard for me to send people to you. And so I was just like, not a problem. Got you. Thank you for being
honest.
Not
bad. It's not bad advice anyway.
No, right? I was like, I had to wait.
I wouldn't send her to go see Scott's white ass.
No. You know what? It's weird. Anytime you have to go to somebody's house to do
it's
work,
true.
Right?
Like, right. But see, like down south and in a lot of other places, the safest place to do energy work from somebody who does energy work is their home.
That's probably true.
That
it's
is
hard
the
to
most
get newbies to jump in at that.
Yeah. Though. Fair enough. Fair enough. And so with that being said, it was so awesome, because when she told me this, I made a phone call later that day. That next morning, I got a call back. I have a spot available for you at this location, which is now my office. And it was just like, I'm talking about everything was greased. It was so smooth. Everything just happened. And then even then, from once I switched to that place, I started getting people off the street in the grocery store. We go to restaurants. They're like, they start talking with me. I'm telling them what I do. They're like, oh, do you got a card? I'm like, yeah, I got a card. And then next thing you know, they're booking an appointment with me. Like, I don't have to. I'm not advertising. I'm not pushing. Well, one, it kind of contradicts my stand, where I stand, being neutral.
Yeah, you don't
I can't
have a
push.
Heavy sales pitch.
No, I don't need one.
Anybody that sits around you long enough realizes that you're on something else. And you've been like that long before this ever came around. Anybody gets near you and they can feel that coming off you. It's like sitting next to the sweaty guy on the bus. You just smell it. You know, you just know that there's something going on.
That's awesome.
Well, and, you know, I go back to what I said earlier, where I'd always kind of been up and down with this whole idea. But, I mean, I've always considered you to be an extraordinary human being. And whatever it is, if anybody could to get any lesson from you, whether they believe or not in power or your chakras or whatever, any of that, even just a little bit of what Vibes got, it'd be better for everybody in the world if everybody could get a little bite of that. And that's, I mean, that's just coming from somebody that doesn't believe in a lot of things. But having seen the way that my life has been in the last year, you have to believe in some of that shit. Like, my mother just passed. You happen to know a little bit about that.
Yes.
Because my mother always wanted to have a session with you ever since the first podcast, because she was our biggest fan. Like, that girl liked and loved and shared and commented and
everything,
you know, everything she could do for us. And, you know, we tried to set that up. You know, she'd asked for it, but she was just too ill and too embarrassed of her living situation to have anybody come to the house.
I see.
So when she went into hospice, it was like, all right, this is your shot, girl. We're going to get this set up. Like, I'll call Vibe and get that done. And then they put her on sedation, and you came in. And, you know, in front of a bunch of people that you didn't know, a bunch of Southern white women, they don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, they're like, what is this big, beautiful black man doing with our sister under sedation in the bed? And you didn't blink an eye. You knew what you were there for. You could feel it.
Yeah.
And you did your work, and you gave feedback that not necessarily everybody in that room wanted to hear, that you felt coming from my mother. And I don't think that you would lie to anybody or hurt anybody. Like, this is what you felt. And you gave that feedback and caused a little strife in the room, but it came from a place of love. And honestly, every one of us would have told you that's probably exactly what her will would have been. And, you know, we're standing there talking, just me, you, and my older sister, and my mother's laying in the bed under sedation in the hospice house, and we're talking, and we're looking, and I cut to the left and look at my mother in the bed, and I'm like, man, she hasn't taken a breath in a while.
Yeah.
And I'm watching, I look at my older sister, and we both kind of look, and we realize she just passed right then, because she could feel that, you know, there was a hard choice on the table.
Yeah.
Because my youngest sister, she's coming into town. And we were like, well, do we back off that sedation to give her a chance to wake up to see her daughter one more time? And, you know, that caused some problems, because some people were like, well, she's going to wake up. We don't know what that's going to look like. Is it going to be bad for her? Is it going to be terrifying? What's this going to look like? And you were saying, give her a shot.
That's what she wanted.
Yeah, right.
That's what she was like. I was repeating what she was saying, like a parrot, you know?
And that caused some strafe. And ultimately, that's a decision for the three kids. So I was just going to put that on the table. It was like, hey, this is... what do you want to do? My mother didn't like to strafe in the room. And she's like, hey, I can handle this real quick. Jumped out.
Yep.
Looked over. And I mean, 5 minutes after that, she was just decided that was it.
And she had some final words for you.
And I have to honestly believe that had to have been part of it. Like, it, whatever part of her consciousness was in there listening to what was going on, she was like, nah, I got shit to do. You know, and that was special. And I'll always have that in my family. And we thank you for that, and having seen that. And my girl, I bought her a session based on my experience, having seen that, to go down there and so she can work through some of her problems and spend some time with her energy with you. And she came back just completely elated and couldn't believe it. I was like, wait a minute, what that black man do to you? What am I pretty white girl doing with him? No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, she was speaking just, I mean, she was feeling colors and, I mean, and it was great. Like, I think anybody that wants to get down should take a little journey over to Vibes Love Castle, and let him hit you with that love blowtorch. You know, I just couldn't believe, like having those two, you know, she's not going to lie to me about it. She thought it was bullshit, she'd have come back and been like, listen, I don't know what your friend's peddling. He's real friendly and all.
But this is some jibba jabba.
But this is just this is just some snake oil, and that was not at all the case.
Thank you.
And I mean, she's just as happy as you can be. And you said, you know, go home to a place of peace.
Yeah.
You know, where you can really get down and feel, you know, feel the last vibrations of your tuning fork, and that's what she did. And you know, it put her in a different mind space. She's super happy about that, and she's like, I'm gonna do that again. I'm like, all right, that's on your dime, girl. You get the first one for free. It's like the crack man. But yeah, nice. I think that's great that you figured out how to walk that path.
And I mean, that was really a valuable thing for us to be able to, you know, to sit there and have that. And I don't know, nobody said shit to me about it. I got no feedback. Like when you said that my dad was there and all that, we all believed that. Like everybody knew, like you didn't know my dad that well.
Yeah, he was yelling at me.
Yeah, you know, he challenged your gumbo. That's about all he did. But you didn't know that my dad was selfish by nature. He was.
No, I didn't know him that well.
No. And the shit you said, I mean, everybody unanimously said, yeah, that sounds about right. Even though that's some shit that had you been wrong about, people would have been mad at you in that room.
Right.
Yeah, you don't stand over a lady that's dying and say your husband's being a selfish dick unless we knew that was absolutely very, very possible, because that's the kind of person that he was. And it's not a bad, like, nobody's saying that he's an ain't, but I mean, his connection to his wife was unlike anybody else's.
Right. No, yeah. As I said, like, he actually yelled at me for, he was like, what are you doing with my wife? And I was like, whoa.
Man.
Wait, what are you doing?
Why are you like, still here?
Exactly.
You got better shit to do, right?
No, it's one of the things is being on this path and being where I'm at and learning, as I said, learning from my guides, learning from energy itself, and not knowing the dogma and the ego that's normally passed down from teacher to student. Everything could be easy. Everything is simple. It's like, and one of the things that I deal with people, they're always like, I got to work. I got to learn how to let go of this and work through this. And I'm like, well, so here's an option. The main thing is making that choice. That's the most important thing that we always have, right? So, yeah, you can work, do all this hard work, and you can struggle and like, I'm trying to let go of this. Yeah, that's work. But ultimately, that work is to lead you to make the choice to say, I'm ready to let it go. So when people see me in that 15, 20 minutes, it's like, if you're ready to let it go, then guess what? I'm going to ask you, and then I'll give you the energy so you can do it. And with some people, I actually have them remove the knowledge of fear within them. So then when they come out, the fear is gone.
Well, letting go of anything is hard.
Like, is it? Look,
I mean, it is. Like, well, I can do it hold on your a own. Fucking grudge forever. And for me, like, I just ran into this dude the other night, like Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him, and I did not like this kid for 10 years. You know, I figured, he got his ass in a crack for he had a 16-year-old girlfriend when he turned 18, and their parents threw him in, right? Gave him that little child molester mark on his record. I found out about him, and I used to fuck with him about it. You know, and that's nasty, and it's mean, and I'm sorry I did that. But he was a nasty dick to everybody he knew. So this was just a little way for me just to take him down a notch. And I realized that being that kind of person's nasty, even and that didn't, you know.
Fear perpetuates more fear.
And I looked at him, and I saw that guy there. I went over there, and I said hi to him. I shook his hand, and I was nice to him. And I just, you know, with myself, I knew where he was coming from. What I did was nasty. And just letting shit go. And that's hard enough. And that's a 10-year-old grudge with some dude that was nasty about some magic cards one time.
Right. When you do it on your own, yes, it can be hard. But what I'm saying is that there's always help. And to be open to that help and just to simply say that you deserve to receive that help and to make things easy, that's an option. And when I deal with people, I have to explain to them, everything is available to you. Everything is an option. It's just up to you to ask. I can't tell you what to do. I can't lead, like, I can point you in the direction, but it's up to you to drink. And from this standpoint, you have to make that choice. But if you make that choice, I could take you as far as you want to go. You know what I mean? I guess there is no limitation. And as once again, there is nothing but infinity sitting in front of you. You just got to be open enough to receive it. And to say, first of all, to have the self-love to say that you deserve not to struggle. You deserve to have things available. You deserve abundance. It's all about that self-love, that confidence, that self-worth that we're so taught and cultivated not to have. Everything around us tells us it needs to be like this. It has to be this structure. It has to have limitations. There's a top. There's a cap. There's a bottle. There's a bottleneck. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things that are telling us no, 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 no. When actually, when you go inward, it's all yeses, because that's love. That's you. That's where we came from. There's a reason why when you're 3 years old, you hug everybody. You try to shake everybody's hand. You smile all the time. You enjoy everything. You fall down and you laugh. There's a reason for that, because you came from a place of love. You're taught not to make eye contact. You're taught to judge people. You're taught to profile. You're taught to say no. You're taught to say no to yourself. You're taught to not have enough time to spend time with you. Most people don't even know who the heck they are. Most people don't even know what's going on with them internally. They don't know.
I'm one of those people, man.
They got scars from when they were kids, and like they have no idea. Why? Because they don't even know themselves. We're not. This culture here is not cultivating love for people to actually take the time to love yourself. If you loved yourself and you go out in the world, you know how much better a place would be? Like, seriously, because when you love yourself, you can take the risk to say hello to somebody. You can take the risk to hug somebody because you're not risking anything.
Don't hug them before you say hello to them. This is a very important message from the Gritty Broadcast. Do not go hug people before you say hello. Surprise hugs are weird.
Fair enough. No, you always want to give people a heads up and allow them to make a choice. You don't want to force anybody to do anything, of course. As I said, that's one of our most powerful gifts is choice. But once again, this culture doesn't cultivate this stuff. And as I said, there's so much structure. There's so much dogma. There's so much limitation. And I get people that are like, man, I've had people even tell me, it's like, I keep going to this dark place. And I'm like, we changed your foundation from love or from fear to love. We've transferred the control from your ego to your true self, which is a body of love. What? We removed all the fear, the disappointment, the regret, the shame, the guilt, the doubt, right? I remove all that because that's all energetic. So once we remove that, why does it come back? And then because you were taught how to go back to it. And guess what? Being taught something means there's knowledge. If there's knowledge, that means there's energy. If there's energy, that's my jam. And I can help you get rid of it, to let it go and even set it up. So therefore, you can no longer learn fear again because you made that choice. But once again, it can be easy. And once you start to get to know yourself and love yourself, and one of the most beautiful things I teach, I work with so many people and I try to explain this to them, self-love. If you took that three-year-old version of you and you sat them in front of you, how would you show them you loved you? How would you show them you loved them?
I'd hug them. I'd hug myself. I hug little baby Brogan.
Right. Mm-hmm. You hug them. Would you tell them you loved them?
Yeah.
Would you give them a kiss and spend time with
him?
Man,
I put that little bastard up on my shoulder and I'd donkey ride his ass around the room. I would want little Brogan to know that older Brogan is not an angry old asshole. I never thought about that. What would you do with your... Like, if you got to spend the day with three-year-old you, what the fuck would you do, Scott?
I don't know.
What would you do? What would be the first thing you do?
I don't know. Three-year-old me?
Three-year-old you. What are you going to do? What would you do with three-year-old your kid? Make a breakfast?
Probably.
Change a diaper?
Make her watch TV. Just go watch TV. Leave me alone. I'm just kidding. I don't know, man. Probably play.
I never thought about that.
Kids around. So,
that's a great mental exercise.
But that's actually what self-love is. So if you think about it, that three-year-old version of you, all the things that you would put in that energy towards that three-year-old you, do that to yourself.
I started doing yoga.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm on 7 days of yoga, 8 days of yoga. I've done yoga today. So
this motherfucker. Like, that is awesome.
You want to see something ugly? Watch me do yoga. There is a lot of beauty in this life, but me trying to touch my top rib to my thigh in just such a way when I'm stretching is not pretty. I'm telling you, that is the most unattractive pose. Like, touch your bottom rib to the top of your thigh, and you're like, eh, and you're like, what are you doing? It's horrible. But I got a very pretty yoga partner, so I just stand in the right angle, and it makes yoga way better. I must say, that's some crazy shit. Yoga's good.
Yoga is good.
Yeah. Yoga will fuck you up. I always thought it was just a bunch of stupid hippies in a field.
That's just
kind of stretching and all this, and all of a sudden I was like, man, I had cramps in places I didn't know you could get cramps. The two muscles on either side of your nuts, those things like are starting to like change and stretch, and they do interesting popping things now, and like shit that they haven't done in a long time. Yoga
might not be good,
shit.
Dude.
No, it is good. I've done that before. I've had that back in the day.
Oh, okay.
That is a normal thing when you stretch those muscles that haven't been used. They freak out. But yoga is some shit, and this is all because of my more recent experiences and realizing in my life I have lived in this weird world that I'm worried about money. I'm worried about what is going to happen in the future, so badly that
you're much in fear.
Well, I realize that I'm choking the fuck out of my life, and and having the two people that raised me expire, and looking at what their lives look like, and listening to their regrets from their point of views when they know death is a week down the road, and the shit that they told me, and their hopes and their dreams for what they wanted for me and what they wanted for themselves, and realizing that so many of us are on this route to this oblivion of nothing, working for somebody else, where you're punching a clock 8 hours a day to make a widget, and the widget is going into this other machine that's going to keep feeding other people to do these exact same things. What the fuck happened to village mentality? There was a guy with a job, and his job was helping everybody else by making an arrow, by making a wheel, by helping thatch your roof. What happened to all that? Now we're making fucking iPhones.
Well, so basically, is you do whatever resonates with you.
Yeah,
you do whatever makes you happy, and you actually comes from your truth, from your heart, and is actually genuine. If everybody did that, this world would be so much of a better place.
And that's where fear comes in, because who can say...
Fear's the stopper.
How
the ultimate stopper.
Yep. Like, and looking at you going, I know damn well what you wanted to be when you grew up. You had your IT goals. You wanted to go back to Gulfport, Mississippi and help your community with that money that you made in that
I wanted to rebuild Mississippi.
Yeah.
Literally, all of Mississippi, I wanted to start in Gulfport and work my way out.
Yeah.
But,
and that was your plan. I could have told you your plan verbatim.
Yeah.
And to see that you said, all right, fear, you know, you could have done that. That very well could be a dream. It probably still is. In a lot of ways, a dream, but you have a different way of looking at it because you were not afraid to go, hey, that IT job, you take a back seat. I don't need you anymore. I got a different thing. I'm going to go chase energy to find my way in this world and help carve other people's lives.
I'm going
to
be me.
That takes a giant fucking jump of faith.
Yeah, I jumped off the cliff.
You know,
I didn't care if there was a bottom or not.
Your
life
partner right here, and that can't be. I mean, she has to have a little fear about that too, or at least initially, you know, say, wait, what? When I met you, you were going to be an IT guy. We were partying and hot tubbing with Brogan with some drugs and some craziness. And now you're telling me that you're going to go and you're going to set up a hut on the street corner and you're going to heal people. I mean, that is some fear. That is got to be terrifying and scary. And just to know that somebody else is doing that and to see it, I mean, it is beautiful. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been, as I said, it's been wild to show people and just to let people know that there's things aren't the way that they think that it has to be. Like I do clearings and blessings. And even when I did your house, when I did yours, I used sage that time. Well, now literally it takes me, if I was to, in most situations, unless there's something going on, if somebody needs me to do more talking or communicate more things, but typically I can go into any residential house and do a clearing and blessing in under 5 minutes with no sage,
nothing. I think you did about 10 and a half or 12 minutes, maybe a little longer than that.
And that's because
apartment.
I was saging it.
Yeah.
And that was the part that took the longest. But now, as I said, once again, I've gotten to the point and I'm able to resonate at such a level that I don't need to do any of the ritual aspects of it. It's not necessary. Now, granted, if that's your jam and that's what you need to do,
and that's what you need
then
to make
that's what's
even
up.
Feel valuable,
right? Then that's what's up. Like that, to each is their own. Not everybody
service.
Has to do it the same way, and that's the beautiful part about it. Is not everybody has to do it the exact same way. The way that I'm able to do it that resonates with me, I can walk in, I can feel what's going on, I can clear the place, I can bless it, and I can walk right back out. I just did one. It took me like literally, I think she said it was like 2 minutes. But the funny thing was, she could feel, like she was sensitive enough, she felt everything that I was doing. And it all resonated with her. And she has not had any issues. And all the like the headaches and all that she was experiencing are no longer, she's no longer experiencing those. So it's one of those things where, what's that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just holding this piece of paper. I'm like making a sign for you. Like we got 5 more minutes, vibe.
No, but it was one of those amazing things where, as I said, everything's an option. Everything can be easy. Everything can be simple. You just got to be willing to say that you deserve it. You just have to decide that you love yourself enough to allow it to be simple and easy. Do you deserve it? I want to hope that everybody says yes. And if they say yes, and if they're ready, I'm happy to show them just how quick and simple healing, love, being in a good place can be and how far Infinity actually is.
And how do they go about getting a hold of you?
So there's a few different ways. You can either go to my website, which is downtoreiki.com, and you can send me an email through the website itself. I also have Facebook going. Once again, it's Down to Reiki. Twitter. I have a Twitter account.
Scott's a big fan of your Twitter account.
I like Twitter. It's my thing.
Nice. That's what's up. And it's so those are the two, like, the social ways to actually get a hold of me. And then, of course, I'm down in Active Space, 3400 Harbor Avenue, West Seattle, right when you get off the Harbor Avenue exit off of the West Seattle Bridge, Big Red Building, 322. I prefer if you didn't knock on the door, and it's appointment only. But if you contact me, typically the way it works, whenever somebody needs to see me, my schedule clears for them. I don't have to change my schedule. I don't have to do anything. It literally, if I get a cancellation, there's somebody coming that actually needs that help at that moment. It's pretty phenomenal. And then, of course, as I said, I do clearings and blessings. I get people to call me up and they're just like, hey, Vibe, I'm about to go in a meeting. Can you bless me? Or I'm about to apply for a loan. Can you bless me? And, oh, the phone number.
That's important.
So the phone number is 206-669-7268. Everything energy is an option. And once again, because I come from a neutral space and I'm a strong medium, it's never intrusive and it's based off of what you need at that moment.
All right. Well, that's been a hell of a podcast. Scott, how are you feeling?
Yeah, it's a good one, man. I don't know. I just always feel good.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, you may.
Okay. You guys ready?
Yes.
This is one of my mottos, and it's one of the things that I think has been lost. And those people listening, I hope this resonates with you because this is truly from the heart. Healers are to love equally and unconditionally without bias or judgment. That simple.
Yeah. And if you want to love us, you can go by iTunes and leave us a positive review. I would appreciate that. You can sweep by our website, send us an email, tell us what you're thinking. You can buy us a round of drinks. That'd be nice. I like to drink.
I would appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, we got a little link. You can click it, pay us some money. It'd be great. We'll buy a round. We'll give you a shout out. All those things. And thanks a lot for listening. And we really hope that this was enlightening for you in some way. So if you're in the Puget Sound area, you want to schedule Vibe, maybe you need a little advice, you need some energy work, give him that man a call. He gave you a phone number, he gave you an email address, he gave you a website and a Twitter. Get out there, get involved, learn yourself. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Brogan and Scott on the Grit City Podcast. Check them out at gritcitypodcast.com. Cheers.